Thank you, Jesus. We bless you. So week number one, we talked about giving is all about the heart. The Bible says where your treasure is, where your money is, your heart is there also. If you gamble with your money, you're always going to think about gambling. If you invest your money into Google and Nike and all that, that's a good thing to do. Let's release an investment anointing in this place. But if you do that, your money is going to be there. Nothing wrong with that. But God wants you to honor him with your finances and with your stuff first, because if you do that, your heart will be given to God first. Amen. So the giving stuff is not about money. It's really about your heart. And for some of you that are new to this church, I want you to know, you happen to come on a Sunday, and in a month where we're talking about giving and being generous, I want you to know that this is not all we talk about every Sunday. Amen, somebody. We do this once a year. This is actually the first time. But I'll tell you this. Show me how you spend your money, and I'll show you where your heart is. Absolutely. Let me just get a peek into your checkings account and see what you spend. A little this, there, and I can see where your heart is. Amen. And so we're talking about generosity because we believe that generous people are happy people. And last week we talked about the principle of first. We talked that we are living in a narcissistic generation, in a self-centered generation, but in such a generation, God's raising a people of God who put God first. Hallelujah. And so today, we're talking about breaking the mammon spirit. Breaking the mammon spirit. Say that with me. Breaking the mammon spirit. One more time. Breaking the mammon spirit. You know, for the last 7 years, I told you I was a conference speaker. I was a traveling evangelist. But man, can I tell you this? I'm enjoying pastoring. Amen. And it's because of you guys. Yes, we can put our hands together. My wife and I are enjoying pastoring. We spend our week, you know, we minister to at least two or three couples weekly, and we love doing that. That's what we love. We love ministering to couples. Amen. So we do that during the week, and then we hang out with different people. She hangs out with single people. I hang out with single men, and I take them out to coffees, and we hang out with people. We get to know people better, and we minister to them. And then I get to teach. But you know what? I get excited about the messages that I get to teach because they're messages that I couldn't teach as a conference speaker. Have you ever been at a conference and somebody was preaching on breaking the mammon spirit? No. Because when I was a traveling evangelist, I had to go into the stadiums packed with people, and my responsibility was to inspire, get people excited, get people to shout, turn around three times and say, I'm coming out. Somebody say, my breakthrough is here. Spin around seven times, high five somebody and say, never again. I'm never going to be broke another day in my life. And then get the music playing. And then I'd leave town. They would give me a fat check. I'd come home, my wife, beautiful check. And they would invite me back because the conference hosts love it when you preach like that. They'll have you back. You don't want to preach on breaking the mammon spirit. They'll never have you back there. But I'll tell you this, I'll preach those messages and I'll know that 90% of those people will never be blessed as they claim to be. You know why? Because there's certain messages that the heart of a pastor has to preach that has to go in synergy with the conference kind of preaching. Conferences and great events are like the Air Force, but the pastors in the local church are like the ground troops. You need both to win the battle. You need somebody to motivate you. You need somebody to cheer you up and tell you everything is going to be okay. But then you need pastors to teach you how to actually come out of that place and how to walk in victory. You need the heart of a pastor to teach you and tell you, no, this is how you go and this is what you do. And teach you precept upon precept, concept upon concept. I can shout over you in a conference and say, you're going to be prosperous. But you need the heart of a pastor and the heart of a teacher to teach you how to actually learn to be prosperous and how to learn to be a steward and to guide you and to take you to that place. Otherwise, I can shout over you all I want and say, you're coming out. It's going to look like you're going in until you've learned how to do the word of God. Amen. So I'm dedicated to teaching you stuff that's really going to impact you and change your life in the name of Jesus. Somebody say amen and amen. The kind of message I'm preaching today is one of those messages. If you want to have victory and authority, the kind of victory that God wants you to have, you need to stop being bullied by the mammon spirit. And so you need to know, what's a mammon spirit? What is it? How do you recognize it? How do you see it? And how do you take charge over it so that the devil will not bully you and you begin to take charge and walk in the victory that God wants you to walk in? Somebody shout amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, are you ready to study today? Book of Matthew 6, verse 24. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. We're going to read together. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. 1, 2, 3, go. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God. One more time. You cannot serve God. One more time. You cannot serve God and mammon. Next scripture. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry. Turn to your neighbor. Smack them in the back of the hand and say, do not worry. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, go. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. Are you not more valuable than the birds? The Bible says you cannot serve two masters. Somebody shout two masters. What the Bible is saying is that when it comes to finances, there's always going to be two masters. The issue is not whether you're going to serve or not. The issue is, who are you going to serve? When it comes to your finances, you're either serving God or mammon. In other words, there's two masters here. One of the masters is God, and the other master is who? Mammon. Mammon is a god with a small g. Mammon is a spirit. And today we're going to learn how to take charge of the spirit and put it under your feet in the name of Jesus. You cannot have real authority until you learn how to defeat mammon. There are several spirits that every Christian needs to know how to run on top of and defeat. And one of them is mammon. The other one is a spirit that I call Jezebel. The other spirit is a spirit called Baal. And then there's another spirit, if I can remember. Molech is another spirit. Somebody say Molech. And for some of you just hearing these words, what in the world is that? Is that Greek? Is that Hebrew? Is that Chinese? Well, these are spirits that control people. And they can even control the church. Today, we're going to learn how to take charge over mammon. Somebody shout hallelujah. There's two spirits, two gods. The issue is not whether you're going to serve. The issue is, who are you going to serve? I want you to know that at every time, the spirit of mammon is fighting for your heart. Because when it comes to it, the whole issue of finances and treasure is all about your heart. I want you to know, the first point that I want to give you today is that mammon wants to take the place of God in your heart. Mammon is fighting to take the place of God in your heart. I'll tell you a story. When I was growing up, I grew up in Malawi, Africa, and my father, great man of God, great leader, he had a TV show preaching the gospel. He had a radio show preaching the gospel. And I grew up at a time where the president of our nation was a dictator. Some of you maybe grew up in nations like that. I mean, the president was a dictator. If you spoke up against the president, you turned out dead the next day. They'll stage some accident and pretend, man, he got killed working in the farm somewhere. No, 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 they knocked his head. They killed this guy. That's what they'll do. But listen, my father went to school in England. And so because they knew that he was in the British database, they couldn't kill him. They knew that the British would check on the students that went to England, so they could not kill my dad. And so because they could not kill him, they had to find other ways to silence him. They had to find other ways to muzzle him. I want you to know that the mammon spirit wants to muzzle the voice of the Christians. The mammon spirit wants to muzzle you. And so what the president did is the president would start sending stuff to our house. Bobby, I remember one day, they just sent us a boat. We were like, whose boat is this? I mean, one day we show up and these guys are delivering a boat. Whose boat? That's your boat. Where did it come from? The president. Courtesy of the president. We're like, yeah, this is awesome. We enjoyed it. We just enjoyed it. And my father continued to preach against the corruption of this president on TV and on radio. Then after that, they sent us a Mercedes-Benz. One day, we woke up to a Mercedes-Benz in our parking lot, a black Mercedes-Benz with some nice chrome rims. We're like, man, Daddy, this is life. This is living. This is awesome. Where did this Benz come from? The president. The president wanted my father to stop talking about corruption, to stop speaking against corruption. And the more they sent the stuff, the more my father preached the gospel and preached against the corruption. So one day the president sent an envoy, sent somebody, a representative, and said, tell the bishop, if he would just stop talking about this stuff, if he would just stop speaking against us, tell him that he's going to be well taken care of for the rest of his life. Tell him that he will never lack anything. Well, I heard this, man. I said, Dad, this is the voice of God right here. Literally, the envoy from the president said, tell the bishop that as long as he's alive, him and his kids, they will never lack anything when it comes to finances. I said, that's Jehovah right there. That's Jehovah, the provider, right there. I was like, Dad, this is good. I said, Dad, I got a plan. We take this money, we build churches. We take this money, we pay tithe. We take this money, we build hospitals. And then we build some houses and buy some cars for us too because we need to eat as well. And my dad, this dude, I'll never forget when he looked at the envoy of the president. My mother and I were just like, this is it. We're going to be all set for the rest of our lives. You got to remember, I grew up in the third poorest country in the world, okay? So don't judge me. I wanted to have that Mercedes-Benz. I wanted to eat. I wanted to know that my future was secure. Turn to your neighbor, tell them, don't judge the guy. But I looked up my father, looked at the representative and say to him, I serve God, not money. Go tell the president that God takes care of me and that I will not bow down to money. I will preach what God's told me to preach. I will speak what God's told me to speak. I will declare what the Lord has spoken to me, and I cannot bow down to money. Tell him I'm thankful for the boats. Thank you for the Mercedes. He can keep sending them, but if he wants, he needs to stop because I'm not going to stop preaching the gospel. Somebody shout hallelujah. What happened here? The spirit of mammon was pursuing my father. And I thank God that in this moment, my father chose to worship God and not mammon. My father chose to worship God and not mammon. I declare over you, and I just declare right now, that God's raising a generation that's going to be fearless, a generation that cannot be bought, a generation that's going to choose God over stuff in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. I believe God's raising a desperate generation that's not going to kiss any idol because they're sold out for Jesus. Hallelujah. Mammon is fighting for God's place in your heart. I want to give you a little history here. Somebody shout history. In other cultures to this day, they worship idols. If you go to Asia, they have thousands, literally thousands of gods. In Asia, this microphone here could be a god. We worship you, microphone. Help us, microphone. They've got thousands of gods, literally. Buddha is an idol. Very healthy idol. He's well fed. You go to those places, those people are skinny, but Buddha is well fed. Always well fed. So it's an idol. So in other cultures, they have idols. They have idols of healing. They have idols of prosperity. All right, so they've got gods of prosperity, which means if you're poor, you grew up in the lower class part of town, and Saturday mornings you'd get up and go kiss that thing. please give us money, please help us. Yeah. And they'll cut themselves, they'll chant. They'll do this weird, crazy stuff, hoping that somehow this God will look down upon them and send some rich guy to give them money. True story. It's happening. And if you're sick, you'd go to this God of healing and chant and cut yourself and ask it to give you stuff. And so the Greeks had a god of money. Somebody shout, the Greeks. The Greeks had a god of money, and his name was Plutus. P-L-U-T-U-S. It was Plutus. But the Assyrians had a god of money too. And the Assyrian god of money was called Mammon. Mammon was the Assyrian god of money. Matter of fact, Mammon is an Aramaic god of riches as well. And so where did the Assyrians get Mammon? The Assyrians adopted Mammon from Babylon. Somebody say Babylon. Where did Babylon come from? Babylon came from the Tower of Babel. Anybody heard that story? These are people who were filled with pride. They said, we're going to overturn God's kingdom. We're going to build this tower and make our way to heaven. We don't need God. So Babylon produced Mammon, and it's a spirit of pride. It's a God that's after your heart. It's a God that says, I don't need God. I can do it by myself. Mammon is a God. Mammon can grip people. And so the Assyrians would wake up on a Saturday and go into the temple of the God of Mammon. And they would beg Mammon, please, please, please make us rich. We're poor. We don't have anything. And they'll do these funny things. They'll start chanting. Ay, 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 ay. Ay, 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 ay. They'll cut themselves, you know. Hasha, 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 hushu. It's crazy that, listen, if I had to worship God like that, I'll just stop because it's sickening. It's crazy. But they'll do all these crazy things, worshiping Mammon. They'll cut themselves, try to get the attention of Mammon. And in the temples of Mammon, they would have some priests in there who somehow had the wisdom and the knowledge to interpret what Mammon was saying. How come Mammon never had the guts to speak by himself? It's crazy. So the priests of Mammon would tell you, Mammon is saying you need to go home. If you're going to make money, if you're going to be rich, you need to go home. You need to go kill your wife and sacrifice your wife. You need to go sleep in the graveyard for 2 months. I mean, Mammon, the priests of Mammon would tell you all this crazy, despicable stuff, and people would go and sacrifice their own loved ones just to get money. It still happens today. If you hear of religions like Freemasonry, the Freemasons and things like that, they sacrifice to get power. They do crazy things to get power. Can I say something to you? Please don't covet over successful people, because sometimes you don't know what they're doing to have the stuff that they have. Now, I'm not saying it's bad to be successful. I just told you, I'm believing that God's going to raise millionaires in a place like this. But you're going to get there doing the right stuff, not worshiping idols. Come on, somebody, this place. They would worship this stuff. And the priests of Mammon would tell them, go home and do all this crazy stuff. And people would do this crazy stuff. The spirit of Mammon is ruling people to this day. I've heard stories right now of doctors who are literally killing people just so that when these people die, they can collect their body parts and make money out of it. How do people do such despicable and filthy things? Because they're under the grip of the spirit of I'll say the spirit of. I've heard stories of doctors to this day who are falsely diagnosing people so that they can give them treatments that these people don't even need because they don't have the disease in the first place. They are lying to people because as they do these extra treatments, they get extra money. It's because of the spirit of Mammon. Right now, there are farmers who are injecting poison in the food that goes and ends up in our shops that we shop in. They know that you and me are going to feed our kids with this food. But they'll care less because they're under the grip of Mammon. They'll do whatever it takes to get that money because they're under the worship of Mammon. Worship. Mammon demands devotion. And so they do that stuff. And they provide these stores with this stuff. knowing that we're going to feed our kids with this stuff, but they're under the grip of the spirit of mammon. When you see a small little girl, teenage girl, giving ourselves to prostitution. You see these little girls, they go into a house and they share intimacy with a man that's old enough to be their grandfather just to get money. You know what that is? It's a spirit of, come on, can I teach you today? Can I teach you real stuff today? It's a spirit of mammon that's taking a hold of people. It's grabbed on. When you see the CEOs that make fortunes, that make all, over $200,000, they collect bonuses and all this stuff, and they skim at the top, and they tweak numbers, and they fix numbers, and they steal money, and then they fire people and saying the company needs to downsize because we don't have enough money. While they go off and buy boats, it's because of the spirit of, they'll let people go. They'll let fathers go and send them back to their wives and kids without a job. Send them jobless while they're taking more money and taking more money and keeping for themselves. It's because of the mammon spirit. They're under the grip of the mammon spirit. Can I tell you the second thing about the mammon spirit? The second thing is that God, the God of mammon is looking for slaves. The God of mammon is looking for servants. Because mammon is a god. It can't survive without slaves. It can't survive without worshipers. It can't survive without servants. So mammon is looking for servants. And I tell you how mammon recruits. Mammon recruits people by bullying them with fear. Mammon will tell you that you need to trust in me. You need to take all the money. You need to take that job even though it's immoral. You need to do this because God cannot be trusted. God will not take care of you. So you need to do all you can. Keep it for yourself. Just do it. Just do it. And here's the other thing mammon does. Mammon wants to promise you things that only God can deliver. Mammon wants to promise you identity. Mammon wants to promise you security. Mammon wants to promise you significance. Mammon wants to promise you joy and happiness. Mammon wants to promise you fulfillment. Mammon wants to promise that you, when you have more money, your marriage will be better. Mammon wants to promise you greater productivity. Mammon wants to promise you stuff that truly only God can provide. God can give you identity. God can give you security. Nothing else will give you security than God. You see, what would have happened if my father would have taken that money from the president? Because the spirit of mammon is a lie. That president was overturned a few years after he made that promise to my father. They overturned him. They kicked him out. He ran away into exile. Now, he promised my father that if you take this money, you're going to be all set for the rest of your life. How would he have paid for us in exile? He was promising us stuff that only God can deliver. That mammon could never have fixed all our problems. Only God can fix our problems. I want to say this to you. The mammon spirit wants you to make mammon your source. I want you to know that God is your source. That job is not your source. That job is simply the resource that God, the source, is giving you. Ultimately, it's God who's providing for you. So mammon wants to bully you and scare you and intimidate you and tell you, if you don't do this, if you don't do that, you're going to be stuck. If you don't worship me, if you don't do this, you're going to be in trouble. Mammon wants to bully you. That's why the Bible says, don't worry what you're going to eat. Don't worry what you're going to drink. Don't worry what you're going to wear. It says, look at the birds. They don't sow. They don't reap. They don't gather into barns. But your daddy, your heavenly father, feeds them and takes care of them. Why are you worried? Trust God, not mammon. Come on, somebody in this place. Somebody shall trust God. You have to trust God, not mammon. Mammon wants to bully you. Wants to scare you. Mammon was trying to bully us and tell us, if you don't take that money, you're going to be in trouble. But I'm so glad that my father said no. I'll tell you a quick story here. We started United Night of Worship in 2007. We had 600 people. And then 2008, we had 300 people. We managed to grow the ministry backwards. This was the place where I wanted to quit ministry. And then in 2009, we grew from 300 to over 3,000. Let me tell you something. We thought that we tanked in 2008, but God was working behind the scenes. I just want to take a little rabbit trail here and encourage somebody. If you feel like you're digressing, you feel like you're going backwards, you feel like something negative is happening, I just want you to know that even though it looks like you're digressing, it doesn't mean God's working on your behalf behind the scenes. He's cooking something on your behalf. Be encouraged. He's working on something. We had over 3,000 people in 2009, but listen, this was the first time that we had a guest artist, a guest singer who came. He invited me to the hotel. If I mention his name, you would know him. He's a millionaire. He's got stuff. He invited me to his hotel the night before the night of worship. And here's me, right, with my little African self. I'm thinking, oh, man, I'm important now. I'm important, man. I'm special. A little mammon spirit, right? I grew up in a poor country. I'm thinking, this is my chance. I'm important. I'm special. I went to his hotel, man. I had a three-piece suit. I walked in there. I'm like, oh, man. I called my mother. Mommy, we made it. We made it, Mom. I'm walking in there. We made it, my foot. I walked into that place, and his assistant greeted me. His assistant opened the hotel room. Now, that's a red flag. If you see a man of God with a personal assistant, and she's cute, and she's opening the hotel room, run for cover. Run. I'm already thinking, this doesn't look good. I went in there anyway, because my little mammon spirit is like, worship me. I'm like, yes, we need to get rid of this poverty. And I went in there, and he offered me a deal. He says, Enzo, at the night of worship tomorrow, I want us to do this and do that and do that. And you and I will make a lot of money. Woo. And then he started bullying me. He says, Enzo, how much money do you make? I said, I make $20,000. He said, what, a month? I said, no, a year. Make $20,000 a year? And he says to me, I make over $200,000 a month. I'm a millionaire. And I sell these things and I do, and this is what I do. And I know other men of God that do this. He started listing other people that are doing this deal. And I'm like, don't covet over successful people. You don't know the stuff they're doing. Some of them can't go to bed in the night because they've kissed an idol. And so he tells me, and I said, sir, I respect you. I honor you. I grew up on your music. I've practiced your music. But I can't do this. I can't do this. Then he started to mock me. He says, Enzo, all those people are coming tomorrow because they've seen my face on your flyer. If you don't do this deal, I'm not going to sing tomorrow. You're going to look like a fool when all those people show up there and I'm not there. What this guy didn't know was that Boston was not hungry for personalities. Boston was hungry for revival. Come on, somebody. And I want to warn some of you that are obsessed with personalities, because it's part of a Christian worship of mammon. Jesus is your savior, not personalities. Please don't make a personality out of me. I'm just a man. You should come here to see Jesus, not Zenzo. He is God. He's everything. Come on. Let's just take 60 seconds and worship him in this place. Jesus is Jehovah. Hallelujah. I worship you, Jesus. No man like you. I said, sir, I honor you. I grew up on your music. I honor you. Never disrespect people. Let me give you an advice as a pastor. Never disrespect people. I say, sir, I honor you. I grew up on your music. I totally understand if this is a deal breaker for you. And I want you to know I'll pay you your money in full, even if you don't sing tomorrow. And he felt the conviction of God. His assistant was still trying to talk. And he shushed his assistant. Shush, little girl. He shoots that girl, blonde little girl, shoosh. And he says, this is a man of God. I'm going to minister tomorrow. And that man, God used him to open other doors. I told you, don't ever disrespect people. He opened other doors. And he went into that place. Mammon wants to bully you. Do you know what that man said to me? He said, Zenzo, if you do this deal, he said something that the president said, my father, Zenzo, if you do this deal, you will never have to lack money again. That's not the truth. Only God can be my source. Only God can provide for me. Come on, don't pick up a job because you think it's going to meet all your needs. Pick up a job because you're walking in obedience. Okay, don't marry somebody because you think they're going to meet your needs. Marry somebody because God says to marry them. Obey God and not the voice of mammon. Somebody shout hallelujah. Do you know what would have happened if I had listened to mammon? I would have been exposed in this city. Because God will expose you. The next year, we grew from 3,000 to 8,000. And the devil knew what was coming. And he wanted me to kiss and worship an idol. Because what happens is, if God cannot trust you with the little, come on somebody, he can't trust you with much. The devil knew that much was coming, and he wanted me to worship and cut myself short. Worship God and not an idol. Come on somebody. I love the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There were three Hebrew boys who were in a foreign land. They were in exile. And King Nebuchadnezzar, actually in Babylon, where Mammon came from. They were in Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar told them, you need to worship our gods. I think one of those gods was Mammon, because Mammon was originated from Babylon. He says, you need to worship our gods. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I love to say Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I think Abednego was black like me. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, King, long live the king, but we want you to know something. We will never worship that idol. And they said, okay, you're going to go in the fire. We're going to throw you in the fire. They said, King, we will not worship this idol. Even if you throw us in the fire, we believe that our God is going to save us. But listen, even if God does not save us, we are still not going to bow down to that idol. I think God's raising a generation that says, I'm not going to bow down to mammon. I'm not going to bow down to that stuff. My God's going to save me. But even if God does not save me, I'm still never going to worship that idol. In other words, I would rather be poor and worship God than be rich and kiss that filthy idol. Come on, somebody. I believe God is raising up a generation like God that's going to worship Jesus and nothing else. Come on, somebody. If you're in this place, somebody shout, hallelujah. I worship you, Jesus, and nothing else. I'm going to worship that filthy mammon, that filthy idol. And guess what happened next? They threw them in the fire. It says that the men that threw them in the fire actually got burnt first. Watch what's going to happen. The people that are kissing those idols, the people that are cutting corners in your offices, stealing, those people that are going around, sleeping around, doing crazy things, worshiping idols, watch what's going to happen. Some of you are bullying you. They're looking at you and say, look at what we're doing. We're having more fun than you. Watch what's going to happen when the fire intensifies. They're going to go down first. And then they threw them in the fire. And the Bible says, King Nebuchadnezzar saw that those people were still alive. Those three Hebrew boys were still alive. And then the king said, we threw three boys in there, but I see four people in there. And the fourth man looks like the Son of God. Come on, somebody. The fourth man looks like the Son of God. I want you to know that when you choose to worship Jesus, when you refuse to worship idols, that Jesus himself makes you his responsibility. He's going to come to protect you. He came right in the fire to stand and protect these three Hebrew boys because they chose Jesus. I have made a decision. As for Zenzo and Michelle and Zenzo Jr. and Joshua and Sarah and Naya, we will serve the Lord. We're not going to bow down to idols. We will serve the Lord. We will declare the goodness of Jesus. We will not bow down to idols. We will declare the goodness of Jesus. We will praise the one and only Jesus. We'll worship Jesus. Come on, somebody. His name is Jesus. Come on. The cross before me, the world behind me. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. You can't buy me. You can't buy me with money. I'll follow Jesus all the way. My God will save me, but even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down to that thing. Which means you have to get to a place where you begin to say, listen, whether I get a boyfriend or not, I refuse to walk in that filthy stuff. I'd rather be lonely than bow down to Baal. I'd rather be where I am than bow down to Baal. I'd rather get less money than bow down to Baal. Jesus was in that fire. Jesus was in that fire because they refused to worship Mammon. Stand up if you can. Remain standing. Here's where I'm going to finish. The last point is that you will break the Mammon spirit when you choose God first. I'm talking about first. I'm not just saying choose God. First, when you learn to prioritize God, the end of that scripture says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The way you break the Mammon spirit is you seek first the kingdom of God. In other words, everything you do it out of obedience to God. What's God saying? You listen to God and you follow what God's saying. And you follow what God's saying. And He speaks to you. My wife and I, just last year, before we planted Impact Church, we were invited by a very rich couple. We were invited by millionaires into their home before we launched Impact. They said, Zenzo and Michelle, we want you to come pastor a church in Lowell, Massachusetts. We're going to give you this money. Crazy money. I looked at my wife and said, oh my God, this looks good. And then guess what? He said, and by the way, we want to make your move easy, so we're going to buy you a house. Shande! Shako! We're going to buy you a house. We're going to give you health insurance. And I heard the words again. Zenzo, you know, when it comes to finances, you're never going to have to worry again. Sitting there with my wife in their living room, in their big house, I'm looking at this house. I'm like, man, this living room is bigger than my whole house. So we're going to give you money. At this time, we were walking away from our salary to plant Impact Church. We had no money for us. We had no money. We were trying to raise money to plant this church. Nobody was giving on that GoFundMe account. Checking it. Few people were giving. Chris Cherry kept giving to that thing. But listen, no one was giving there. So we had no money for our lives, no money to start the church with, and no people on this side house. And by the way, this couple had just bought this big building, this big church. They were renovating it, and they were telling us of all this state-of-the-art stuff they were going to put in this thing. We're going to put TVs in there. Zenzo, we want to televise. We'll show your face to the whole world and televise you. They had all this stuff. And they had people. They had a few people, professionals, doctors, this, that. On this side, all the people I had was this brother here, Timmy. That's why I love Timmy. When I look back here, it just reminds me of something. All we had was Timmy, and we had one Angeline. We tried to have our first meeting, and we got locked outside. And we spent our first meeting with one trying to break into the building. So on this side, I have a house. I have money. I have all this stuff. And on this side, I got no money, no salary, no house. And I have two people. One of them could be a thief. Who knows? I never met this guy before. I'm like, this guy might end up swindling us. He's Latino and he's breaking into this building. He was breaking into the building and he's like, I know how to break into just about anything. I'm like, this is not good. Don't get that guy to count the money. But he's a blessing. Let's appreciate him and his wife. Come on. Let's appreciate him. But they offered us this. And the next day, we woke up, asked my wife. They sent us a list of houses that could be a possibility. My wife and I sat on our bed in the morning with our computers. Ooh, honey, look at this. Our kids would love this. Oh, this has got an attic. Oh, it's got a playroom. Ah. And we would say, honey, let's shut this thing off. And my wife and I looked at each other. We said, this is not for us. because God had given us a vision for impact. See, the other thing was good. Those people are good people. They are there today. Matter of fact, that offer is still there right now. A few times things are rough. I'm like, hey, man. Look, but they gave us the offer. And we knew that God had given us a vision for impact. It was clear, the name. God had given us everything. I knew that if we were going to take this thing in Lowell, we would have taken it just because of the money, not because it was a God vision. That's how you know it's mammon. Mammon is not always bad. God, the devil will tempt you with good things. Good things are not God things. The fruit in the middle of the garden was not bad. It tested good. Yes. It was a good fruit, but it was not a God fruit. Yes. So we humbly say no. And we came here. And then God started sending more people. Jen said, I'm not going to Nashville. And now you're here. And you're here. Over 300 people, close to 400 people have been saved. Because we said yes to Jesus and we refused to bow to the God of Mammon. Somebody worship him in this place. Come on, somebody worship Jesus. He's been given a name high above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue confess. Worship him in this place. Worship him in this place. He deserves praise. He deserves worship. He deserves worship. Come on, we're gonna lift him up in this place. Hallelujah.
Decided to follow Jesus, no turning back.